This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
The man who made 99 famous in this town before there was a JJ, there was a TJ. He's Trap J. He's Travis Johnson. He's to my left, and he will be here till 4 o'clock, two shows nightly. Please remember to tip your bartenders and your waitstaff. Behind the glass, there's never been anyone like him, thank God. And there never will be again. He's the man that likes to kick ass on a consistent basis. He's my man, Nick Shirara.
Shirara.
And then again, there's me. And I am someone you are stuck with till 4 o'clock regardless.
Why don't you get in? And to my right, the guy who made the voice of the other team, the Big Sequoia, famous, Joe Blank.
Like, I participated. I didn't. Craig Ackerman gets more credit than me, but it was fun while it lasted. And now we're talking about all kinds of sports. And it's football season. And so, unless you're a hunter and you know that trees fall in the woods, you think it's just football season. And that means the Texans are number one on everybody's mind right now, and we will get to them throughout. I want to get to some of the tweets. I know Nick is watching the texts, but Scott in Deer Park wanted to say how bad Aaron Rodgers looked, and I said, here's two things to remember. One, I was talking to my homies in Wisconsin during the game, which I always do, and I made sure that everybody knows this. This is the second time Brett Favre came to Lambeau Field. Once it was against the Bears on, like, Thanksgiving, to find out he was going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame, and the Packers crapped the bed and lost. And the minute I heard he was going to be there yesterday, I had a really, really bad feeling. And then he did the same thing again. He shows they blow. I don't like it. I was a big Favre fan, don't get me wrong, but it bothers me. So, Scott, you mentioned that. I agree with you, and I mentioned it to my boys back home that it bothered me. Lamont said, Osweiler's not worth $72 million, as the caller said. He's not worth 72 food stamps.
No, he said $72 worth of food stamps.
There you go.
That right there, Lamont, that might have been the tweet of the year.
No, we've had a couple of good ones.
$72 worth of food stamps?
I get it.
Like, that's I guess, I don't know, man. That is bad.
Now, Tyler said he was at the Rockets game Saturday night, which we mentioned with the forest and the trees. He said it was awful. 6 quarters of nothing but turnovers. I like to call that a French bakery, where you can have your choice of turnovers and flavors. But the thing is, Tyler, the question I had for you, which you didn't respond to, which was, did you stay for the whole thing? Because that's what we're talking about in a nutshell, too. The fact that if you went to the game, let me know, and then let me know that you stayed. Or if you blew and you took off because you had to beat the traffic rush. Because that is the trademark of Houston fans. It bothers me. It bothers a lot of us that aren't from here. But it happens. So there you go. And Jason, who said already that he didn't listen to his wife and he stayed, said, by far the fastest he's ever gotten out of the yellow lot, thanks to all of you that quit.
Yeah, so now, I was just going to say the same thing. It took me no time to get out of there.
Yeah, see, I like that. I like the fact that you not only didn't do it, but you actually were able to call out those that made it easier for you to get out. And Lauren, you're absolutely right. Lauren tweeted to me, don't assume your daughter won't be into sports. And you're absolutely right, and I certainly hope so, because there's nothing that I take more pride in and that I look forward to more than being a father. I love hearing Travis's stories because of his kids and their love of sports. And look, my daughter's in the 99th percentile for height right now. Yeah. And unfortunately, she got her dad's melon, too, so that makes learning to walk a little harder proportionately. Because, like, if I was bald, I'd be Jack in the Box on the commercials. Thank God I'm not. But
What size is your head?
It was 7 3/8 or 7.5.
Okay.
Something like that. But yeah, regardless of my head, and we don't need to bring that into the topical discussion. But the fact that she's in the 99th percentile and she's got really long legs, I'm thinking volleyball. I've already worked in the WNBA and it scares me. So I'm thinking volleyball, not that there's anything wrong with that. But I'm thinking maybe track. You know, Lisa's a big runner. So, but anything she does with sports,
yeah.
I mean, look, bottom line, she's a Packer fan. She has no choice.
Yeah.
And then we go from there.
Well, I mean, you know what? All my girls love sports. And, you know, the evidence has always showed that a young girl who plays sports is less likely to get pregnant, is less likely to end up on the pole. And I think that's one of the things where, you know, as a father, you raise your kids, you raise your little girls to stay off the pole and to be successful in life. And I think when you give them sports in their life.
If you stay off the pole, you avoid Ken Bone.
Exactly. You sure enough
just
do.
Just saying. Yeah.
And
beware of the half zip.
And that's to tell you the truth, that's why my girls go to all the Astros game with me. Like my girls go to the Astros game.
Love
when
that.
I take my son, I take my daughters. You know what I mean?
And you have to, because you don't want to single out the kids and break them up. But again, you know what? I agree with it wholeheartedly, and I applaud you as a dad and all the stuff that you do with your kids, because to me, it was like a neighborhood thing. Like,
yeah.
The whole families went, boys, girls, it didn't matter. But it was, hey, what are we all doing this weekend? Why don't we all get tickets and go to the Brewers game?
Yeah.
Why don't we all tailgate and go to the Packer game? Well, you don't realize at the time it's something for the whole family to do.
Yeah.
And because we tailgate, and I get a kick out of Channel 2 running the promos about the greatest tailgaters in the world here in Houston, Texas. We created it back home.
Yeah.
Okay, and we do it when it's 27 below. I don't think you would. But at the same time, I applaud the Houston, Texas tailgaters.
Tailgate.
But if you tailgate the way it's supposed to be done, it's an all-day and all-night experience, which they do at Lambeau, which they do in Milwaukee at County Stadium. And so it was inexpensive for the families because no matter what you're paying on tickets, and a lot of times our dads got them, right? But because you're eating your own food and you're preparing it, and it's just like the barbecue, but you're spending it around sports, you're creating fandom and an affinity for the teams for life.
Yeah.
As well as bonding with your family, your friends, your neighbors. That's the beauty of sports. Because it keeps you out of trouble.
It does. It definitely does. I mean, tailgating. I need to go to a tailgate. I've never tailgated, man. I've never had the opportunity to tailgate ever. And I know here, a lot of people say they're the greatest tailgaters. But let's be real, guys. Y'all not even allowed in the stadium till I think, 8, 9 in the morning.
And you got to have a ticket to tailgate.
And you got to have a ticket to tailgate.
That?
Like, that's – I understand making money off the tailgating. But,
nah,
I mean, when you see Buffalo tailgate, when you see the Packers, like I've been to Lambeau in December, and see everybody in there hunting in their hunting gear with barbecue pits outside
with Packer logos on the hunting gear.
That's
you know, if they have real alternate jerseys, our alternate color is either the hunting orange or the camo. There's no doubt about it.
And I think that's one place where when it comes time, I'm gonna take my son to go see a game there.
I can make that happen for you, but I'm sure you can too.
I mean, you probably be able to make it happen easier than I can, but I mean, I really enjoyed that place, the atmosphere, as far as it just was pure. It was pure football, pure sports.
And that's what I love about it, because that's why I'm happy to take the heat on Twitter, because y'all know who my teams are, just like you know Traps. But just like when you take shots at Trap for the Noles, or you take shots at me with Bucky and or the Packers, what I keep telling you about both of us in this studio right now is we ride or die with these teams. Win, lose, or draw, it doesn't matter. It's not going to change. If I wake up on the wrong side of the bed tomorrow, do you think that I'm suddenly going to be a Detroit Lions fan or a Texas Rangers fan? No. Now, I live in Houston, so I really love the Astros. And you and I both do. And we've grown to really enjoy that team. Because a lot of it has to do with the way they play.
Yeah.
Young players built the right way, coming to the park every day with a real desire to get better and win.
Yeah.
And you've seen them grow. I love that, right? I don't love the quick fixes like Miami with LeBron, et cetera.
Yeah.
But it's not going to change regardless if they win or lose. If the Badgers lose Saturday night, am I going to go, I need a new college to root for?
No.
If the Packers lose, I'm looking for answers, just like you guys. You're looking for answers because you want to find out how to better the team, but it doesn't mean you're going to jump off the bandwagon.
No, you're never going to. A real fan doesn't jump off. I've been waiting on the Dodgers to get back to this point since I was a baby.
The Dodgers are much like the Texans, and I want to ask you and the fans at home about it. So make the comparison. Dodgers, Texans, all that, more. 97.5 ESPN.
ESPN. 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Now, let me make a statement very clear. I'm in the Billboard, but unlike some people who have an ego bigger than the state of Texas, I could not do it alone. I could try, but I could do not. I would do half the job that I could do when I have my posse with me. So therefore, I have Nick behind the glass. I got Trap J next to me, Travis Johnson. We're here till 4. We'll answer your questions. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. Here's the thing. I tell you about my Packers and the Badgers and Travis Knowles and his four Wees, including one college and three pro, all because we want to make the point that we're going to give you real takes on your teams, okay? But I also understand during the process, you guys still want to talk about things like what happened at Lambeau yesterday. I will talk about it. I gave the Cowboys their props. Understand, and Travis can verify this because he actually spoke to me yesterday, I was in no frame of mind or any mood to talk about it then. I'm pretty much not in the mindset that I like talking about it now, but I can because I'm for you, the people. So with that, we will go to Jeff, who's been holding the longest from Orange, Texas. Jeff, welcome in.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Love the show.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
First, everything I've been hearing this morning on the radio has been Aaron Rodgers was this bad. Aaron Rodgers was bad. His footwork was terrible. But how about the Cowboys' defense? They didn't get really any pass rush, but the coverage in the back end was phenomenal because there was a couple times he just had to hold on to the ball. He just couldn't find anybody open.
No, you're right.
I mean, look,
the back of the secondary played better. Church played really, really good. Their corners were good. But, again, in talking to Salisbury about this, because I wanted to get – you know, someone other's opinion, unbiased opinion, unlike me, who's, you know, grasping at straws, but thinking I know it all, but I'm going to do it with a little bit more of my heart than my head. And he said the same thing. The throws that Aaron used to make in his sleep and make it 9 out of 10 times, he's not making.
Yeah.
But then when the guy's wide open, you know, look, just like in any game, right, you're going to have opportunities. It's how you capitalize on those opportunities. It's like the game last week against the Giants. Eli Manning had 3 chances where guys were wide open to make huge plays, and he overthrew all 3. You're going to have a handful of plays. It's just that you have to make them. In Rodgers' case, he used to make them. Right now, he's not making them. So you're right. The attention's going to be on, again, just like Brock Osweiler, the attention's going to be on a guy that makes all the money and is the quarterback and why he's not performing the way he's supposed to or he should in the case of Rodgers. In Brock's case, you can always go back and say, was the sample size too small? Did they jump too quick? Did they have to press the panic button because the quarterback issue's been so big with the Texans? You know, you can go back and forth sideways. With Rodgers, you know it because he's done it. The question now becomes, why isn't he doing it now? And he can't blame the offensive line. Because, look, I was the first guy to say, what the hell are they doing when they cut Josh – or they cut Josh Sitton. But that offensive line, when you're getting 6 and 7 seconds to throw the ball, they're doing their job.
That's more than enough.
Right. So from the Rodgers perspective, you know, hey – I understand it, but from your perspective, I get it too. Look, I gave credit to the Cowboys where credit is due. The two rookies on offense, you already know it's the best offensive line of football, but the two rookies and even their receivers, because Dez was out, they're playing their tails off, but
yeah,
the defense
are.
Did what they had to do to win the game, and that's all you can. Lee is a good, solid, hard-hitting football player.
Oh, no question. But when you talk about these two rookies, let's talk about Dak Prescott. First 4 games against Tony Romo's first 4 games. Both of them 5-1. Completion percentage, Tony, 70.3. Dak, 68.7. Passing yards, 1,401 for Tony, 1,486 for Dak. Touchdowns, 11 for Tony, 10 for Dak. Interceptions, 8 for Tony, 1 for Dak. This is a heck of a rookie year for this guy.
No question.
And this is a heck of a first 6 games. You know what?
He's a starter.
Hands down, it's over, Johnny. It shouldn't even be a discussion. Romo.
I wanted to touch on the fandom y'all were talking about.
Go ahead, man.
Growing up down here in Orange, I became a Nebraska Cornhuskers fan when Bobby Newcomb and Eric Crouch were running the show. And I survived through the Bill Callahan years, and we're finally looking like we're coming back up. It's that much sweeter when you can stick with your team through the good and the bad. When you finally get to the top and win one, I'm not saying Nebraska is going to win one this year.
They're good,
but
though.
When you finally get back, it's that much sweeter because you endured
all
the pain.
With you, brother, 100%. Don't be a stranger. Love the call. The thing is, is that you're right, because you know what? I know in a small market like Milwaukee, it's going to be once in a blue moon that the Brewers have a shot. So when they get there, you're hoping like crazy they do it, because it's not like the Florida Marlins where you can just load up, pay everybody, clear house, reload, do it again. In Milwaukee, you had CC Sabathia as well as all that talent.
All that talent and couldn't win.
With Big Prince and everybody else.
Yeah, they had
Ryan Brown before they caught the needle in his hiney. I mean, they had a lot of good things going for them. But it's 82 was the once in the blue moon before that, when they got there and lost to the Cardinals. And they had, you know, Bambi's Bombers. But you're right. I mean, I endured the Packers sucking hind tit on a dairy farm my entire childhood. But because I knew that there was nothing else to do but watch Packer games on Sundays, you endure all that. But when they finally get good, you're like, brother, I was there when they sucked, and I am going to ride this out like I've got fireworks in my back pocket.
Listen, for those who just tuning in, that's how us as LA guys were as far as with the Raiders. You're either a Raider fan or a Rams fan back in the day. But I remember when, you know, you heard all the stories about how good the Raiders were in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And then when us in the 80s and the 90s, we were like, dude, this is terrible. Like, you know, we get free tickets to games. And the Dodgers, I just remember my first game in Chavez Ravine and watching and getting my first Dodger dog. You know what I mean? Like, that's, and that to me was the greatest thing since air itself. Like, just to be there to sit with my pop. You know what I mean? And watch that. And so I understand. And right now it's giving me great joy. Like, that's why even though I play for the Chargers, I still love to see the Raiders do good, because it just gives me – it's like a bomb pop.
Is it a
it's
regret childhood. At the end of your career, was it a regret you never put that uniform on?
Well, it wasn't really a regret. I knew coming out I wasn't tall enough to go play for the Raiders. Yeah, because they were – you know, Raiders at the time all had big, big bodies on the defensive line. Like, I'm a 6'4 guy. At 305, these guys
first
were...
First of all, no one's going to consider you for anorexic.
But no, these guys that played back then were like all six. Like, Sapp was a midget when he got.
But I'm pretty sure you can ride every roller coaster in America, I could. It's not like you're short.
But no, like, but Sapp was a midget. Like, when you see little that D-line...
People. Little people.
Oh, my bad. Little person. Right. Excuse me, LP.
Right.
But when you see their D-line back in the day...
Yeah. Like Howie Long and...
Even
Alzado,
all those guys, but even though, and that's where they
Matuzak.
Had guys. But I'm talking about even like when in the late 90s, 2000s, like they started getting huge. Like, I'm talking about like Terdell Sands, 6'7", 400 pounds.
400.
I'm talking about Ted,
400.
Ted Washington, 6'6", 400 pounds. You know, that's
I was going to say, and this all go, you know what happened though? It all goes back to the Dodger Doug.
Yeah.
You were so dedicated once you got that first Dodger dog, you didn't stop until you got to 3:30.
I had to get it.
Just saying. Before we get back on that topic, we're going to clean up this, because you guys don't want to talk about my team anymore. But Ernest, you have a question I wish I had the answer to, but you want to talk about the Packers loss yesterday. My man, welcome to the show.
I guess you really kind of covered it. You know, we just don't know what the heck is going on with Rodgers. But, I mean, I really guess in my mind that I really – rather them mess up now than later on, you know, in the season. But I'm pretty sure they will come back off this. And by any chance, since y'all are Packer fans,
one of y'all, have y'all
been to the local Packer bars that are actually here in Houston?
Yeah, there's Cheddarheads and Nick's Place, our loyal sponsor. Nick's Place has everybody out on Sundays too, and they have a huge Packer following. They've actually sent me some emails. They want me to come out on a Sunday over to Nick's Place. And Sam Decker, the Badger, has been to Cheddarheads. I'm not sure, but yeah, they're two great places. They actually dry ice send the brats from Wisconsin. They do the cheese curds. They do a lot. So I know that there are Packer bars in Houston, which I love, but as I've told people, I'm a little bit too vocal and passionate when it comes to watching that team. So I'm better in the safety of my own man cave than I am in a public place embarrassing myself with words you don't want to hear that I'm embarrassed saying. Let me put it that way.
Hey, so you know, you just told me I couldn't use the other word. I had to use LP, right?
Right.
Well, you know, my wife is like deathly afraid of like LPs.
I did not know that.
So she sent me a... She sent me a GIF, and it says, "No way, Jose." No way, Jose. And I just thought it was funny. I'm sorry, man. And Ernest, that was a great call, man.
Ernest, don't be a stranger, man. We appreciate that.
My wife just had me dying laughing when she just sent me that.
It's It's always good when the family ties are stronger than trying to carry on a good family program. Way to go, wife. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening. But next time, let's avoid the social talk until after we get home, or you guys can Skype and do whatever you want in the privacy of your own home. Oh, yeah. We're here till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, and Nick behind the glass as we're here till 4 o'clock kicking some ass. We're here for you because we are your sports station and your sports show that keeps it real and talks about what you like to touch and feel. So therefore, what you guys wanted to talk about early was a little bit of the Texans, and we've talked about some other things. We've asked for you to call and participate. Please, no more on my team because I'm already bitter enough as it is. 713-780-ESPN. You can call, you can text, you can tweet. The Twitter handles are out there. You know what they are, and if you don't, you can ask somebody because they'll be there to chop down a tree and tell you all at the same time. 713-780-ESPN for the texts and the calls. Welcome to the show. Come on in. And if you want to come on in, you can elevate yourself quickly in the living room from a place on the floor to a comfy spot on a chair near the television. But you have to bring it. And you have to be spot on when you do. Otherwise, we're not afraid to call you a Richard. And you don't want to be a Richard on this show, just as a just a little bit of a forewarning. Other things, too, that we want to get to. Ed Oliver. And this is one that I really want to get your opinion on.
Yeah.
The five-star recruit of the University of Houston, I touched on a little earlier.
Yes.
Was asked this weekend before the Cougar game who he'd like to be like, emulate. You would think he might say J.J. Watt, might say a lot of different people. Said Ndamukong Suh. Said the intimidation factor, the fear factor, everything about Ndamukong Suh. Now, I, again, have a little bit of the extra background because I know what he's done in his extracurriculars on the field. But I had lunch with this guy at the Lombardi ceremony downtown. And before he went pro, he was the nicest, most polished, polite kid I've ever met in my life in a situation like that. And then, he steps on Chad Clifton in the Green Bay game. And
Most of Nigerian guys, man, that's how they are, man. They're the most soft. They're the same version like how Troy Polamalu is on game day. Like those guys, like them Nigerian dudes, they're the nicest, sweetest dude. Indy Kalu's one of them. And turns into a freaking Zulu warrior when the game starts.
So you're okay with it?
No question.
Okay.
I mean, for somebody.
Because, I mean, a lot of people that are parents, when we talk about parenting kids that are athletes, they see the example that he sets kind of away from the actual playing.
He plays the game how it's supposed to be played. On the edge of losing his mind. And that's how the game's supposed to. And every now and then he loses it.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then Ndamukong Suh goes and loses it. But as a, this, for one, it's a black kid. So, but when you look at guys, you look at people who look like you, that built like you, that represent the best way you are.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll never say he wanted to be J.J. Watt. He'll say, yeah, I would like to make plays like J.J., but he never said that's who he wants to emulate. Like growing up, you wanted to be Reggie White. You wanted to be, you wanted to be Deacon Jones. You wanted to be those guys. You know what I mean? But you never. I loved Howie Long, but I would never say, yeah, I want to be like I want to be Howie Long.
You would look tight in a flat top.
Yeah, no question. That's why. I mean, I wore 75 my rookie year because of Howie and Deacon Jones. Those are two of my favorite players.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? But when
you need Prince Fielder's number now because. The hair is a little different.
Yeah, my hair is a little different, no question. But, I mean, I don't have any problem with that.
So let me ask you this. You're talking about that. The other thing, this kind of translates into something else that's always bothered me. And it goes back to the Kevin Garnett mentality. Now, I know too much about Kevin Garnett. He used to be my favorite player in the NBA.
Tastes like Cheerios.
But he's fake tough. He's done a lot of crap.
And Ndamukong Suh ain't fake tough.
No, exactly. But okay, let me take you where I'm going, okay? What I used to hate was like when guys get on the floor, say you grew up and you got plenty of guys you played with in college or childhood friends, but when you get between the lines, I can do without the kissing before the game or the that's my boy and the laughing on the court. As a fan, I want to see someone that you want to kick in the grapes until you get that W, and then after the game you can go have a beer and talk about it. But from your perspective, because you have plenty that you've played against, that you used to play with and grown up with, etc., Where's your perspective on that? Because it used to drive me nuts. I like the fact that when Garnett took the court against anybody, even if it was his friend, and the textbook example late in his career is when Ray Allen left the Celtics. But when he came back to play the Celtics, the one guy wouldn't shake his hand and gave him the bitter beer face and wanted to was KG. So I can respect that because I want you to go out and give 110.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to give me the smiles and butt pats until after the game.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, I go back to look at me and my cousin, man. We played against each other. He went to the University of Florida, and, of course, I went to Florida State. And we didn't speak to each other the week of the games. And I used to tell him all the time, before, like, leading up to the game, I said, man, you better keep your head on a swivel, because if I find you running to the ball, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to hit you right under your chin and see if I get that 6'9" to topple over and be ass over tea kettle. And he knew. That's what time was. I totally wholeheartedly agree. No matter how good of friends you are, like we used to have guys here, and I won't mention any names. You know what I mean? Because they're still known figures.
That's why your girl is 63.2%.
Yeah, I won't mention any names just because I don't want to put that guy on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember he used to be like, bro, like a guy used to give us this, like we used to play against. All these future Hall of Fame offensive linemen, the Tom Nalens, the all these guys.
Your boy Jeff Saturday.
Jeff is not a future Hall of Famer, but you know what I mean? Kevin Hawaii, all these guys. And they used to be trying to give us the business. And then this guy gets in there, and they got a brother-in-law situation going on. He's like, hey, man, what kind of block did I get on that play? Like, what? If you don't shut up.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Where are you on after the game, the jersey exchange and the I admire you. I mean, you see even before games, guys, the Charles James when he was mic'd up for the preseason game with the Broncos or whatever, and he would go up and
I mean, that was a preseason game, and Peyton Manning's one of the greatest of all time.
But during the game, you can't do it.
No, not during the game. But
after
not just
it's
that.
Okay.
If you lose, I don't necessarily agree with it because, I mean, if I lose, I feel a certain type of way.
You should be.
But I understand where it is because everybody now, it's more like, the social media age has people in a whole different light. And it makes friends of guys who never would have been friends before, never really would have came across each other's paths. And the NFL circle is so small. I mean, there's only 1,800 of us right now that plays in the league. And I think there's 20,000 of us that's still alive or have ever played. I think it's 22 or 23,000 that ever play this game. So I think the circle is very small.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, a lot of guys, they do respect you. The jersey swap thing is cool. I just don't like when you got guys, like, who don't play, swapping with a superstar. Like, superstar doesn't want your jersey. Just ask for it. You know what I mean? Like, my whole thing is, like, after the season, like, I was always one of them guys who I would call certain friends around the league and tell them, like, hey, man, you mind having Sixers sign me a jersey for Christmas?
Yeah.
Or, you know, and I remember when Warren Sapp was a big brother to me.
Yep.
You know, I came in the league, he kind of, you know, he was just, Sapp don't talk to a lot of people, but I didn't ask him for, even when we played each other, I wasn't like, Sapp, let me get your jersey. It was, when we played Miami, I knew what I wanted, so we played Miami, played Florida State one year, and I said, hey, man, he was like, what you want to bet? I said, we can put whatever you want on it, but I said, I'm going to be honest. I said, and he was like, no, let's put some money. So we threw some money on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't really want the money. I wanted jerseys. Mm-hmm. So I told him, I said, man, hey, Sap, I want a Tampa Bay jersey and I want a Raiders jersey. Sign it, your debt is clear with me. And he literally got there. It got there for me as soon as Christmas hit.
Well, because he didn't want to take the debt, man.
Yeah, but
to pay the money.
But
I still want one of your jerseys. That's just because we park one car sometimes in the driveway and a car cover is always something that you got to pay for otherwise.
You need a car cover or you need an oil pan.
Or I need a tarp for the pool, too.
Yeah, understandable.
It would look good with 99.
It would look good with 99.
Speaking of looking good, hey, Ken, you're looking good on the board from H-Town. You want to call in and join the show? Welcome, first-time caller, or have you been a regular? I don't recall you being on the show before, but we're happy to have you.
Hey, man, appreciate you for having me. This is my first time calling.
Okay, welcome aboard.
Hey, I'm listening to you all the time, and I got to agree with one thing. Our main job as fathers is to keep our daughters off the pole. Yeah. Keep them off the pole.
I know you smiled when I said that, huh?
Okay, but before you get into your – Ken, let me put it in perspective for you, though, okay? You keep them off the pole, but because you're a little leery of the WNBA – they can still find a way to utilize it. That's all I'll say.
You know what? Point taken. But, you know, let's keep them off the polls. I say it every day at work. They don't believe me. Listen, I'm from Atlanta. I got a couple of things I'm going to say, my observations on what you said. Tailgating out here is completely different from anything I've ever seen. It sucks.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it sucks, but it's different.
Okay, it's different. If I in Atlanta, when we tailgate, we at the dawn from the beginning before the sun come up.
Yep.
And we there till the sun has gone down, and we going into the city to party, party, party.
Amen to that, brother. Look, I want to set the tone for you people. And it's not, it's because.
You people? Yeah, who's you people?
Okay, no, I saw your tweet. I could have told you that, but I'm not going to. But the thing is, and Ken's right. At Lambeau Field, it could be below zero or freezing. And the parking lot for a noon game opens at 6 a.m. I'm going to tell y'all, it looks like a strand of Christmas lights that goes down Lombardi Avenue from the front gate all the way down about a mile and a half of cars that are piled, that are lined up to get in there just to tailgate. That's how you tailgate, okay? And I appreciate the fact that the food at the down at NRG is phenomenal, the way everybody barbecues.
Yeah.
I'm not taking anything away from anybody. But I will say that from a standpoint of how you tailgate and how you endure whatever is necessary, and you don't have to get a ticket just to be on the grounds and all these other things, there's a difference. Ken's gone. I think he had another point to make. Ken, if you still had another point to make, call back. We'll get you back on. We appreciate you calling. We got calls lining up. We got people that want to talk. By the way, Adam on Twitter says, Jeff Saturday is in the Hall of Fame center. Awfully close.
He is awfully close.
I would say he's a Hall of Fame. I know I said it because I know there's some disdain.
No, I don't have any disdain. I don't have a problem with Jeff. No, I like Jeff. We had great battles. I like Jeff Saturday.
Can I put music to that every time you change directions right
no,
there?
No, I've never changed directions with Jeff Saturday.
I say
he's awfully close, but I wouldn't say he's – because of the centers who played during his time, yes, he got six Pro Bowls, but yes, he's a guy who got those Pro Bowlers mainly – yeah, he did a good job, but because of the guy behind him.
As Martellus Bennett said to Brandon Marshall – you've been to six Pro Bowls, but six Pro Bowls get your ass kicked too.
He gets your ass knocked out.
There you go. ESPN.
We'll hit it back again.
ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, Nick Shira behind the glass here till 4. We're blowing through it. It's been fun. It always is when the Trap Man is here with me. And Barry will be in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Barry is funny. Barry will be bringing it like he was on Twitter yesterday when he caught me at a really bad time and got me all fired up. We don't really hate each other. We're not fighting. It's just that I'm very defensive about my takes sometimes too, and when I've already had to endure a bad Packer loss, I get a little fired up. With that being said, we have plenty of people on the board that want to talk about a variety of a plethora of topics, so to speak. Trap, you, before we get to the callers, and I'm going to ask you to abbreviate this, which I know is hard for you, but before the break, we talked about Jeff Saturday, and Adam said awfully close to being in the Hall of Fame. I would agree with Adam, but you also make a good point, so before we get to the callers...
Well, I mean, when we talk about Jeff Saturday and we bring up his entire career, if he gets in, it'll be purely because of the Manning effect. I mean, not to say, because listen, Jeff was a good player. I enjoyed playing games against Jeff because he bought the best out of me because of his knowledge of the game and because of the competitor he was. I mean, Jeff went to six Pro Bowlers. He went to six Pro Bowls. Let's say five of them were earned.
Yeah, the one in Green Bay. The one in Green Bay. You're right. He wasn't even starting. He got it, and I agree with that.
And went to the Pro Bowl. He got two all pros, but here's the thing, and it might just be my requirement, but at some point, in my opinion, there has to be a stretch of at least 3 years of your career where you're considered the best at your position. You know what I mean? You're considered as you are the bell cow, you are the guy. And at no point in his career was he considered the best at his position when you got guys like he played in the same era with Kevin Mawai.
Yeah.
He played in the same era as Tom Nalen. He played in the same era. Like the guy played in the era of great centers. You know, they weren't the greatest of all time.
And you and I were talking about it. It's a tough position to get in. It's like, man, why do you think Ray Guy took all this time to get in? He's exactly. a punter. They don't give him this. They don't get the same credit, and they also don't get the same recognition and or consideration that other positions get. That's why I said a guy that Houston fans should be familiar with, Mark Stepnoski,
Mark Stepnoski,
with the Cowboys and then with the Oilers, was considered the best center in the game.
Yeah.
But look, Mike Webster finally got in, I think.
Yeah, he did.
I think he had it possibly after he died. He's a Badger, but he took forever too. So it's a tough position to get into as well. But I'm with you on Saturday,
and that's why I told him. I said, you know what? If he gets in, he'll either be an old man or he'll be dead. Because let's not forget, when the Pouncey brothers retire, that's another center who they were at the tail end of his career, but they'll go in before him.
That's crazy, isn't it?
When you think about how good they are, you see what I'm saying? So. Yep.
All right, so we can always get that back on the agenda, and if you want to talk about it, let us know. Ken, was Ken's call done, or did Ken call back in?
Is that Ken Bone?
Ken, you're not wearing a half-zip sweater, right, with a white tie and a white shirt?
Yeah, I'm back.
Ken, you don't have a caterpillar on your lip looking like a hefty George Costanza with a white shirt and tie and a half-zip red sweater, do you?
Nah, you got the wrong Ken on that one,
No
man.
Bone-in ribeye for you, brother. Okay, bring it. What do you got? I knew you had another thing to say.
Yes, sir. Let me see. With the Texans, I like the Texans since I've been here, but I'm going to tell you what they need to do.
Yep.
Get rid of George Dotson. He wasn't Jack as a quarterback at Georgia Tech, and he definitely didn't seem to be doing too much as an offensive coordinator here.
George Dotson. Okay.
As a quarterback at Georgia Tech, he was like, I mean, God, I can think of that game against Virginia. I'm showing my years now. And he looked like a deer in the headlights. So his play call is almost lit. Hey, I can put my Madden game next to it, and I can almost call it like you see it.
Okay. Well, you know what? As we like to say, my man, everybody's buttholes and opinions. Everybody's got one. And you definitely have one on Godsey. We'll take that to heart and notate it accordingly.
Notate it accordingly. The last point, with my Falcons, all I'm going to say is this. You see how Richard Sherman always dumps and humps and hollers when he make a play? You notice he was quiet after that pass interference. Because guess what? It was pass interference.
Ken, there's no doubt it was. You're absolutely right, it was. And the other thing that I said to Travis was the fact that he went off during the game and really made a scene on the sidelines, but also to the officials. The home field all played into the fact that he got away with a call that in the first three quarters of the game, there was no doubt, and in any other game, that's called. But that doesn't make any difference. That call should have been made. Seattle should not have been able to get away with that win that easily. If nothing else, let them fight it out in overtime. But at that key point in the game, you have got to make sure that the right call is made.
Oh, no question. You can't allow that to happen, to be hooked by one arm and held down by one arm, and then the guy still almost made the catch. It wasn't like the ball was uncatchable. You have to make that call. In my opinion, that right there screws with the integrity of the game.
But was it, I mean, just a question, wasn't it kind of hard to make that call?
No, it wasn't hard to make that call.
It just kind of looked like he grabbed his arm, but like it
with
was
both
like
hands.
A hand.
He grabbed it with both hands. Listen, he locked it with one and grabbed it the bicep with the other. I mean, it was pretty blatant.
If he didn't grab that hand, that's a catch by Julio Jones.
And he still almost made it.
Exactly.
Yeah. It just seemed like in real time replayed it in real time, it was really hard to see. That's all I'm saying.
You saw it because you know how easy it was to saw? Because you saw Julio start to elevate and all of a sudden mid elevation start to come back down when you know good and well this guy had a 42-inch vertical.
But here's the other thing. You know damn well he's not going after a ball with one hand.
Exactly.
Yeah. Especially when they gotta have it.
Yeah.
So that there it is in itself. All right, if I'm reading it right, Hindu in the Galleria wants to defend tailgaters. I'm not sure that you have to defend them, but go ahead.
Hello?
Hello. You're on, man. What's up?
Hey, love you guys' show. I'm a relatively new listener.
Appreciate that. Tell a friend.
Yeah, I wanted to call and defend my Texas tailgaters.
All right. And let me just be clear. You don't have to defend them. But because it's just different. I made sure to say it. Chris is out there on Twitter.
One caller that said tailgating here sucks. I'm glad you corrected us. That's different.
Yeah, I corrected it. But just like Chris is on Twitter saying that no small forward should get in the Hall of Fame because LeBron is the best. That's not what we're saying. It's totally different, but it's fine. He says genius logic, genius tweets, but go ahead.
No, like I said, I mean,
hey, I tailgated 4 years in a row. We were out there at 7:15 waiting in line with the grill already going, waiting for a grass spot in the yellow lot.
Yep.
We made breakfast tacos, then we traveled the desert, walked 3 miles to the game. Got drunk at the game, cheered our Texans on, came back, fired up the grill, pulled out the HD antenna, watched the rest of the games in the parking lot and party till the sun went down.
See, I love that.
Now, we don't do that anymore because my buddies got married. I'm on the path to getting married. Happy wife, happy life. You pick and choose your battles.
Well, but I totally get that part of it. And again, you don't have to deal with the weather, right? Because you just don't. It's beautiful.
Well,
that's why I got out of there.
I know up north, Lambeau Field, Chicago, I've been to the game.
Don't give
December.
The Bears too much credit.
It's cold, but.
Yeah, but take the Bears out of the equation. They hibernate. The Bears are out of the equation.
I got friends from Chicago and Lambeau that came down here, and all I heard was, it's hot. It's sweating. It's too humid. If it's too hot, get the hell out the kitchen.
Yeah, you know, Bears don't tailgate like the Packer fans do, and I'm not being biased there. I just know in Soldier Field's a different environment, but they still try. But, I mean, if that was your attempt at a Midwest accent, I'm going to need better, but I agree with you. But here's the other thing I'm going to say. Okay, and it has nothing to do with the weather. The only other thing I'd say is, and it's not on you, it's on your organization that you root for. Just because of fights with Cowboy fans, you can't make everybody have a ticket just to be on the grounds. Because let's be face it, there are all walks of life and all different types of incomes that are out there. Some people can't afford the high price of an NFL game, but they want to enjoy the experience. And part of enjoying the experience is getting there early, having some pops, having some food, throwing the football around, talking to other fans, being a part of the environment. You feel it.
Well, now you're getting into what's the definition of a fan and what's the definition of a true fan.
Right, and I go back and forth on it every day with you guys. But I'm just saying, from an organizational standpoint, if you're going to charge Joe Blow on the street to be able to come off the train or wherever they're coming from, to be on the grounds, to kind of enjoy the environment of the NFL and all the tailgating experience, and if you don't have a ticket to just be on the parking lot grounds, you can't be there, and you blame it all because of one day of fights, as Trap said, part of the beauty of being in a tailgate situation is there's going to be some altercations, too. That's just passionate between fans. But I think it's gone too far, and it's not the blame on the fans that are tailgating, but the organization as a whole doesn't need to charge people just to be on the grounds, and then don't use the scapegoat of we don't want anybody fighting, and that's the way to do it. There are other ways to do it by putting more security, walking the parking lots, riding bikes in the parking lots, whatever. But don't let Joe Fan that wants to just be...
No, I agree with that. I mean, in Philadelphia, don't they have a courthouse at the stadium?
Oh, absolutely. Well, they did in the old Vet. I'm not sure that they do at Lincoln Financial. But yeah, they had a judge and a courthouse right in the stadium.
There's so many restrictions on our tailgating rules and policies because of that one preseason game against Dallas. Thanks, Dallas Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
Well,
Lamont, I love Lamont. Lamont's just such a homer. Texans fans are nationally recognized as the best tailgaters for several years. In what? In Barbecue Illustrated, which is published down in Humble? Give me a break,
well,
man.
Well, I will say they probably nationally recognized for their food.
Yeah, I don't take anything away from
but
that.
But you know, there's a couple guys I think that have some real nice setups that maybe they might be individually national.
See, but as a whole, whole group, that's what we're getting at here, right? Not to take anything away, but literally, unless you've been there and sampled some of the best and done some of the other things, don't take it that far. All right, Kevin, we see you. We're coming back to you. We'll get you and much more onto the show. If you want, again, be a part of the show, 713-780-ESPN. We're here till 4.
ESPN 97.5.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.